You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football!
Welcome to Good Morning Football. We are live in New York City. It is Tuesday, March 26th. I'm Sarah Walsh alongside Kyle Brandt, Jason McCourty, who has won a Super Bowl. He wants us to make it incredibly clear,
thanks, Sarah,
despite the fact that Chris Hogan sitting next to him has won two Super Bowls. Okay. But you know what? You're a Super Bowl winner. In a very impassioned plea from you, not plea, but a speech about the hip drop swivel. Chris, did you have anything to add? Because Jason didn't let you add anything.
No, I agree with everything that Jason was saying. Really? I'm all for all the player safety, right? Taking the head out of the game and trying, like, as a former receiver, you know, getting a blindsided hit without knowing the hit's coming. Like, I'm all for that, right? Let's take some of the injury. But you said it, right? This game that we play, it's 100% injury rate. Yep. And I just don't think that we're taking tackling out of the game. I mean, I don't know how defensive players are going to play football. Mm. I don't understand. It's making it really challenging for these guys to play on Sundays and tackle without fear of getting fined, without fear of getting penalties. And these are not little small penalties, right? I mean, these are penalties that can change the course of a game. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just think that we're leaving it up into the ref's hands and to a subjective call is. I don't think it's making the game any better.
It's interesting as an offensive player. Jason, do you remember feeling as emotional as you do today when the horse collar rule came down?
The horse collar was a little different because it had the nameplate and it was so specific of you're reaching up, grabbing it, and you're never taught, hey, just reach out a guy and grab him. You're always taught to wrap a guy up. So I think that's the big difference. With that, I saw it was Jawan Bentley put out a tweet. You know your guy, Jawan Bentley, linebacker for the Patriots. He was just like, all right, no hip drops, no helmet use, no big hits on defenses receiver, no horse collar tackle. He was, I just don't know at what point where I'm supposed to get a guy when I'm trying to make a tackle. So that's the tough part about it. I don't get it, but it's a rule that guys are going to have to adapt. They're going to have to change because it's here and it's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, what are you teaching now at training camp or OTA? Like, what are they going to say to these guys in terms of the technique you've known your entire life?
There's going to be a lot of coaches that are going to spend thousands of hours of watching film and figuring out an exact way, and they're going to put a tape together to show guys. They're going to come up with drills. They're some of the smartest guys in this league. They're going to find a way to drill it and get guys to do it because, to your point, 15-yard penalty, money out of your pocket, nobody wants that.
We know where we are. We work for the league. This is a league thing. The league found a very specific type of tackle that had a much higher injury rate, yep, than other kind. Yeah. And it's almost like in martial arts or MMA where a move is eliminated. When you hear Mr. Mara, who talked about it, mm-hmm, he says, I've never heard the players be happy about any decision that we make in terms of rules. What's your response to that? And do you at least, I'm talking to both of you guys, do you see where they're like, we found a thing that is hurting players and we have to get it out of the league. Do you see that?
To a certain extent, yes, I do. And that injury rate, but I also think that within this, and you're looking at intent and what a guy is doing, I think when you're wrapping a guy up, I don't think you're going in with the thought process of I'm wrapping him up and I'm just going to drop my weight and try to twist his legs. I think you're wrapping a guy up and you're just trying to get him to the ground.
Speak to the Logan Wilson play.
That is naturally the art of football. Wrap a guy up, bring him down to the ground. Logan Wilson was being called dirty for the tackle that he had on Mark Andrews, and he's going in and he's trying to pull him backwards and not allow him to advance the ball. So you completely understand it. I think guys are unhappy when different rules come about because guys aren't in the room as the rules are coming about and as the rules are being changed. So when you look at it as a player, you wake up, you go on social media, or you open up and you're reading an article and you're seeing, all right, no more hip drop swivel tackles. And now you have to go read and see the definition of what a hip drop swivel tackle is and then go figure out how to avoid it. So for a player, if you're a part of the process and you get to help identify what that tackle is and may be able to have an input in it, I think it changes the dynamic and what you think about it as the rules start to change, whether it is a horse collar or it is a hip drop or whatever the rules that come out. If you're a part of it, no different than we sit here at this breakfast table when we go over our A blocks through E blocks. If you have input in what we're going to discuss, it changes the narrative for you and it changes your skin in the game of being able to come out here in your passion or being for it.
I think people feel so strongly about it because you're trying to change a fundamental part of the game, right? We're talking about teaching NFL defensive players how to tackle during training camp. Like, that's crazy to me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just part of the game. And I feel bad for the defensive players that have to go into training camp now and take time out of their prep getting ready for the season to learn how to tackle. Like, that's crazy to me.
I would just say I really respect the passion, especially from defensive players. There's a lot of guys, but Richard Sherman in particular, very outspoken about it. I totally respect it. I would only say that when these rule changes come out, and I've seen this before, it feels like the boogeyman to defensive players, and they get really mad, they get really angry.
And you figure it out.
It usually does not play out as bad as you think it will. Mm-hmm. Whether it's not called as tightly, or it just doesn't, or they adapt, or they coach. And I'm not told to say anything. I can say whatever I want. I always have on the show. I would calm the waters a little bit by saying, in March when this happens, everyone's really, really, really mad. Yeah. And then in October, November, you're like, it's not as bad as we thought. Yeah. Okay, so we'll see.
Pass interference rule is a good example.
Perfect.
Yeah. It's a good example.
All right.
Well, this is obviously being discussed not only here, but down in Orlando. That is where the annual league meeting is being held. And this morning, it was the NFC coaches' turn to eat breakfast and talk to the media. I know there's nothing they would love more than to eat breakfast while talking to the media. Here is just some of what they were saying this morning.
I think this division is about to get significantly better than what it's been, and I would argue it was better last year than people realize. You know, they're one play away from Green Bay and us playing in the NFC championship game. So I think this division is about to become very difficult. That's good. That's good, man. That's how you want it.
Hey, let him announce on his terms. Let him do his deal with Erica and you know, you knew it was coming, so it wasn't like it was anything that was new, but I thought it was cool. I thought it was a great reflection of the respect that he's earned over time based on just who he is as a person, how he's handled things, and to be able to do it the way that he did, you know, was so him. And
yeah, amazing thing. Good players fit well into schemes, and he's obviously a really good player. We're really excited to have him. The style of play that he brings, the leadership that he brings, and so, however, you know, guys like that, however you use them, they're gonna do a good job. And so, we're obviously working on the ways that we're gonna use them now. Our offensive staff's working hard at that, and just really excited to have him add a player of his caliber to our team.
It's not really just my vision. It's not really just what we had here in place already. We're building a whole new Atlanta offense with Zach Robinson and all those people that I mentioned before. And I thought it was really important that we get threats on all three levels of the field. And Drake provides such a good threat from an underneath standpoint, from a high cross standpoint, from the stuff that he can really do and he done well throughout his career with the toughness that he displays.
I think we've come up with a really good plan as far as how we're going to evaluate these prospects, how we're going to get in front of them, really figure out what they're all about. And then when that process is over, whether we've had a chance to move up or not already, or we're still in the process of trying to do that, or maybe we love where we're at as far as how we see the board. But I think the key is the information and kind of what we talked about, building some relationships with these guys. So you know, we're excited about multiple opportunities, and I just think it happens to be a kind of a draft that we're pretty excited about as far as the depth of kind of how the top of the quarterback situation looks. So pretty exciting times.
I'm just pumped that Brock gets an offseason. I mean, his first year he didn't get much of one just because he was the third quarterback. Last year was all about, you know, he couldn't really throw with us till training camp, and this year he just got married. He's fully healthy. He's going to come back here in a couple weeks, and we'll get going. And I'm just pumped to be able to go through the film with him and to be on the field with him, which he hasn't had a chance to do yet in his career.
You just heard from Kyle Shanahan. We want to stick with San Francisco there for a minute. When you look around at the powerhouses in the conference right now, does it feel like the Niners are alone at the top, Jason?
Man, he just said Brock Purdy talked about his offseason, got married. Can't wait to get him back and go over the film. Do they watch the Super Bowl film over?
You better watch it.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like taking a dog and sticking its face in it. You better watch that thing. You better watch it.
I don't know if I can watch it.
Yeah, I did.
To your point, do they sit alone at the top of the NFC? I can't say that. I look at them. They returned their quarterback, and Brock Purdy, who's still on a rookie deal. All of the offensive guys are returned. They lost guys on defense, but they replaced them. But I feel like for the 49ers, is your side view mirror where it's sitting there, it's like objects appear closer than they appear. They're going to be closer than they appear. And I feel like that's what it is for them, because you look at the rest of the NFC, the Green Bay Packers, the Detroit Lions, those teams are coming. The 49ers beat them both in the playoffs, but those games were extremely close. Cowboys, who knows where they're going to be? We saw Sirianni right there with the Philadelphia Eagles. Sean McVay and the Rams, that's a team that I'm afraid of in the NFC. So I think the 49ers are still the best team in the NFC coming off of last year? Yes. I do think they returned so many guys, their same coach, but I think those teams in the NFC are right behind them and they're coming.
Yeah. There's no, I mean, listen, are we going to say that what they did last year, they're the top team? Yes, but I mean, Green Bay, Detroit. I mean, I argue that Detroit should have won that football game.
Definitely.
Right? I mean, both playoff games, 49ers had they came from behind, right? I mean, they were losing by 1 to 2 touchdowns. So do I think that the teams in the NFC are right up the 49ers' heels? 100%.
Yeah. It feels like they had this great opportunity. Like, this is the time, cash that went in. You were healthy. Your quarterback didn't get hurt. And then you don't win it. It's a good question, though, because we were kind of joking, but also kind of serious. Do you watch the Super Bowl? Right. Chris, you won 2 Super Bowls. You did lose one. The all-time classic, you versus the Eagles. Did you guys watch that and break that down? Never once.
No.
Why?
I watched it myself.
But not as a team.
Do you remember 2018 getting ready to play the Colts? And Bill put it on in that team meeting
room. Sure do, yeah.
What are you talking about? What happened?
We're getting ready to play the Colts, and Frank Reich was now the coach of the Indianapolis Colts.
Okay.
We went back leading up to that Thursday night game. This was game day, the morning meeting, and we're watching film from the Super Bowl that they lost to the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'm sitting in the room.
And Reich was the assistant.
I'm not even watching the film anymore. I'm just like this, looking around to see the reaction. And, like, those guys that played in that game are just, like, in a sunken place as they're watching.
It could have been the first time that some of those guys had seen that film.
For real.
No one wants to go back and watch that. Yeah. I mean, it was last game of the season. Some of those guys weren't there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I went back and watched it, obviously, because I had a good game, and I wanted to see, like, what happened here? Like, how did we lose?
Sucked.
We threw for, like, 500 yards. Like, what happened?
Devin McCourty, all those guys, they sucked.
Yeah, I think the greatest coach in team sports history didn't play Malcolm Butler for some reason and probably could have used him. Alshon Jeffrey turned into Jerry Rice in the first half. We couldn't have anybody cover him. What the hell happened that day, Chris?
No comment.
Malcolm said, like, I'm a hero. Put me in, coach.
No comment.
Oh, my God. All right, anyway, that's what I think.
All right, we got to get back down to Orlando. That is where we find our Ian Rappaport, Mike Garofalo there at the annual league meetings. Gentlemen, give us the latest out of Orlando there.
Ian, just a few minutes ago, the NFC coaches breakfast breaking up, and we heard that there were about a handful of votes that they needed. After taking the straw poll yesterday, five or so votes that they needed to get this new kickoff rule pushed through. Breaking news, hit it.
It has now passed. The NFL has a new kickoff model, the hybrid model. We've been talking about it the last couple of days, something the NFL believes will increase the number of kickoffs, increase the number of actual plays. The kickoff, which has been basically dormant, I think, for the last couple of years, is now back. It is also much safer. What they have done is eliminated the long run-up, eliminated the high-speed collisions that lead to a disproportionate number of concussions and injuries, while also increasing the amount of kickoffs that will actually be in play. It is something, you mentioned it, they were close. The NFL and Roger Goodell specifically and the competition committee has wanted this to pass, and generally when they want something like this to pass, it will eventually pass, and it is going to look different, Mike, okay? It is going to look different. You're going to see look much more like it did for XFL games with players lined up all the way down closer to where the returner is. You're going to see balls placed on different yard lines, the 30, for instance, if it goes into the end zone on a fly. A lot of different rules we're all going to have to familiarize ourselves with. But most importantly, the kickoff is now back.
Yeah, the ball's going to go in the air. You're going to see two lines of players. The ball's going to fly over them. They're not going to move until the ball is either caught or landed. At that point, that run-up will be much shorter than it was in the past, so much safer, but also bringing the return back in because we're dissuading teams from touchbacks, right? Because the ball comes out to the 30 instead of the 35. That was the original proposal. So there was some tweaking. There was some, as we've been talking about it, arm twisting last night from the teams that wanted to push this thing through, talking to the teams that had resisted in the first place. So it gets pushed through. It gets done before the draft, which is something Rich McKay, the chairman of the competition committee, wanted to happen because the other time to vote on this would have been in May, which would have been after the draft. So now teams go into the draft knowing that the kickoff is back in play. Returners such as Cordarrelle Patterson, who are still free agents, going to be very happy because McKay mentioned Devin Hester going into the Hall of Fame. This is a big part of the game. It's a big part of the history of the game that they wanted to come back. They would have to do it in a different format to make it safer, but they have now.
Yeah, and it's interesting listening to Rich McKay and Jeff Miller from the NFL yesterday. They talked about, you know, a lot of positive this year, very competitive. Everything was good. Offense maybe went down a little bit from where it has been, just about pure amount of points scored, right? The offense was a little bit down. Bringing kickoffs back, bringing an exciting play that, like we're going to see some kickoff returns for touchdown. You break through the initial line, you're going to see some guys score, and that will help bring back offense. Well, there's a lot of positives here. It's going to look different, but this is our new reality in special
teams. So yesterday, the swivel hip drop tackle banned to try to make the game safer. Today, the kickoff changed to make the game safer, but also more exciting to bring the return back in. So that's some of the big conversation here at the NFL's annual meeting. But also, wardrobe. You know, listen, we got you guys back in studio there. You're looking fresh today. Kyle's got a great amount of collar showing there. He's got it open as well. Chris, you look fantastic. Sarah, you got the monitor and your blazer kind of the same color. You're matching there. Thoughts on this here? You got the carnival music going in the background, which is great. This was the talk of the cocktail party last night. I had a wife of one of the coaches. I'm trying to have a conversation with her. She goes, I can't stop looking at his suit.
Yeah.
It was not a compliment.
It was a compliment. That's the best suit I own. That was my Kentucky Derby suit from last year. I thought it looked amazing.
The music was fantastic.
The amount of people who came up to me and were like,
well,
I'm
we're
so
not
jealous.
In Churchill Downs.
Better I'm shoes. So jealous that you can wear that
event.
And I can't. I think a lot of people wish they could pull it off. And I tell you what, people were honest. They really dug deep into their souls.
Honest.
And what they said to me was, I couldn't pull this off, but you obviously can, and I thought that was nice.
I got to go to Jason McCourty on this one for his thoughts because I could just
say you know who liked it. I'll tell you this:
show the
you
shoes.
Who liked it, the better McCourty. The better McCourty liked it a lot.
Oh, Jason, unload, my man. Now's your chance. The floor is yours.
I know exactly what they meant when they were like, I couldn't pull it off. That's a saying I like to say. That looks good on you. It's meant for you, not for me. You mentioned Dev. He doesn't have a fashion bone in his body. All he's done since I started this show is ask me where I got my clothes from. And I just need to know, like, when you put the shoes on with the suit, was it the orange laces to bring out like the orange stripes in the suit? Or are you just trying to get notice? I need to figure that out.
I feel I'll answer this one. I feel like they were about 10 sizes too small, if you know what I'm going for in this one.
No, I don't know what you're going for at all. The shoes complement the suit. You don't need to match. The laces do, I think, bring out the colors in the suit. They're golden gooses.
You should have
danced
like this.
They're lovely shoes.
I saw you dancing last night.
They kind of were designed. I had a little artist do some drawings on it. It's a whole thing.
Whoa. Okay.
Golden Goose.
We respect it.
I think there's a thin line between looking like you're attending the Kentucky Derby and riding in the Kentucky Derby.
Ian, I love you. I'll back you up. Your fashion's great. I love you.
We see you, Sheet.
I looked amazing.
Thanks, guys.
Confidence is key, baby. I love it.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
One week at a time, one moment at a time, 1-0. Let's get it, man.
Oh, feels like football season's almost upon us. Our next guest was a two-year captain and first-team All-SEC, also an academic All-American and one of the top defensive linemen in this year's NFL draft. Please give a warm welcome, Missouri Edgeworth rusher Darius Robinson.
Let's go, Darius. Let's go, baby.
How y'all doing?
Yeah.
And we're doing great. We're happy to have you. We're bringing the energy this morning. And these past few months, you've been a busy guy. You were at the Senior Bowl, the Combine, then last Friday you took part in Mizzou's Pro Day. How would you rate your performance in front of scouts and coaches and NFL GMs?
Yeah, I would say I've been having a great process. I just honestly have three goals every time, you know, any opportunity I get to compete. My first goal always is just to have fun. My second goal is just to be better than the last time I was on tape. So every time people see me, I want to be better. And really just my last goal is to show why I'm the best defensive lineman in the draft. But every opportunity I get, I'm just making the most of it and enjoying this process.
I can tell, and we love this about you. You have described yourself as, quote, a mixture of Chris Jones and Max Crosby. Mm. We're talking to Chris Crosby right now, guys. That is the comp. What similarities do you see in their games and yours?
Yes, I would say definitely Chris Jones at the three tech. I love how he's webbing and he's always uses his hands and always forklifts on the inside. Like, he's never getting blocked. And then Max Crosby on the outside, he has very long arms like me. So he's always turning his shoulders, upper body rotation, and he plays with such a high motor. And these are two of the best guys in the NFL and guys that I look up to. And I watch their tape all the time to find ways for myself to get better.
That was a good breakdown. Now, you didn't play high school football until your junior year. The plan was to get a college scholarship, which you received from Missouri. If you didn't get a football scholarship, what was the backup plan?
Yes, man. So if I didn't get a football scholarship, I honestly would have went to the Marines. I felt like I had a service family background, and also I just wanted a way for me to pay for college and, you know, to be able to get out of Michigan. But, yeah, I would have been the Marines.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. Cool. Things have obviously worked out for you, and we actually have an interview you did during your high school years. It was back in 2018. Take a listen to this.
How were you utilized this year as a junior, and how do you think you performed?
This year, it was really just like, I feel like just touching the water, really, because this is my first high school year the past season. Like, now that I know like what I'm really capable of, this year's going to be amazing. I can't wait.
From just touching the water to about to be drafted, what do you remember about yourself back then, and what goes through your mind when you're listening to that clip?
Yeah, I definitely think back of the process and starting at the very bottom. Like, I'll never forget, like, the first day lifting weights, I remember I got 135 stuck on my chest. And now to think, like, how much hard work I had to put into this, how much I had to grow with my teammates in high school and then get to the college level and try to recreate the process to be the best Darius Robinson each and every day. But it's really a blessing, and just staying humble and just working hard as I possibly can each and every day, and realize, you know, there's more work to be done. You know, I'm excited for the NFL. You know, I didn't come to participate. I came to dominate. So just making sure each and every day I'm getting better and be able to reach my goals.
All right, well, you've had so much success on the field, but off the field, you've started your own foundation. Tell us a little bit more about that. What's the motivation behind that? And tell us anything that you have going on with the foundation.
Yeah, so going into my senior year, I had, in August of 2023, I had a book bag drive where I purchased 100 book bags for the local kids in my community and that attend my church. And after that event, and I'm so glad my teammates were able to come out. This was all during fall camp. And after that event, I thought about the inspiration that I'm going to bring other kids and other people in our community. So I filed the paperwork, started my own nonprofit. And then this past Christmas, I raised over $3,000 for three families in need. And now going forward, my goal is just to do three events each year and just give back my blessings to others, because I'm really blessed to be in this position that I'm in. But it doesn't help anybody if I don't give back. And, you know, we all as a community continue to grow.
I absolutely love that. You understand it at a young age. And I got to imagine a lot of that started in your childhood and you growing up outside of Detroit. And the 2024 NFL draft is in Detroit. As a baby, you were wearing Detroit Lions gear.
Yo!
Look at that guy. You were later on a huge fan of Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford. Have you been invited to the NFL draft? Have you started to think about what it could possibly be of you walking across that stage in your hometown, possibly to become a Detroit Lion?
Man, I think about it all the time. I haven't got invited yet, you know, just waiting to see how everything plays out. But that would be a huge opportunity, a huge blessing to be able to walk in my hometown on day one. So just staying the course, waiting out the process. But, man, it's a dream being from Michigan. I remember last time I was home, I was driving downtown Detroit, and I just had to stop and just look at the sign and just pray about it and just think, like, this is a blessing coming from my junior year of high school to Mizzou to now this is my next chapter. But this will be a huge accomplishment, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Darius, we can't wait. You did not come to participate. You came to dominate. We can't wait to see where you end up, man. Thanks for coming through this morning.
All right, thanks for having me.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Our next guest has over 30 years of NFL experience. He's served as vice president of player personnel, a general manager, an assistant GM, and now he is our front office analyst for NFL Network. Please welcome three-time Super Bowl champion Scott Pioli.
What's up, Scott?
What's up, Scott?
At the annual morning, league meeting
everyone.
Today,
good
Scott. Good morning. When I said three-time Super Bowl champ, now like Jason's got a thing going on because we have a two-time Super Bowl champ, and now it's just going to
hurt. Get him out of here.
It's going to hurt his feelings. I'm not even sure if you can be on with us, Scott. Look, you want it. You deserve it. At the annual league meeting on Monday, Scott, the owners unanimously banned the hip drop tackle. There's been a lot of talk around the breakfast table here this morning with us about it. Some players have voiced their displeasure over the rule change on social media. What is your take on that decision?
Sarah, I'm all for this. I truly believe in player safety, and I think that's what this rule is all about. And, you know, when you look back, rules always have unintended consequences. And when we decided to take the head out of the game, which was very important and we need to do, there was going to be some unintended consequences. First, it was going to be lower leg injuries to players during tackles. The next thing was going to be the inception or the finding of this new kind of tackle, the hip drop tackle. And to me, it's a tackle that's so unnecessary as long as we teach players how to tackle better. As we look around the league, once we took the head out of the game, tackling skills went down because it was less time spent on it in practice. There was less time spent on it, you know, throughout the training camp. So to me, this is a rule that's really going to help the safety of the players. When I look at it, you know, we all know what it looks like when we see it. And to me, the players that are complaining about this or the Players Association having a problem with this, they say they're concerned about the consistency of the ruling. But to me, that's not a reason to keep it out of the game. They need to keep this out of the game for sure.
Hey, Scott, as if you don't know this about me, I played lacrosse.
That's right. Chris played lacrosse.
I'm a scout. But of course I know this, man.
But when it comes to all these NFL prospects, do the scouts or executives give them bonus points for if they were a multi-sport athlete or they played something else other than football growing up or in college?
Chris, I always thought it was important. To me, it was a bonus for players for a multitude of reasons. Again, one of the things to me that was so important is if you play another sport, you have a different type of athletic intelligence and understanding and ability really to make on-field in-competition decision-making and solve and problem-solving. So to me, you know, I know you're a lacrosse guy. I know another guy who was a pretty good lacrosse player in college, a guy by the name of Jim Brown, who was a two-time All-American. And I got to meet him when I was a graduate assistant at Syracuse. And Jim talked about how important it was for him and how much it helped him in terms of his decision-making on the field. Even though the sports were vastly different, it was training his mind to be able to make in-competition decisions. And, you know, when I look at multi-sport athletes, I was always a big believer in wrestlers. We had Stephen Neal, who was a starter for us at the New England Patriots in those in that first decade of championships. He started for us for 7 years. He started for three Super Bowls for us for three Super Bowls. And he would never played college football. He was at Cal Bakersfield. He was a world champion wrestler. He was a national championship wrestler. And he always had something about his toughness, his leverage, his mindset. There's been a lot of players that were wrestlers that have been very successful. I also remember in 1996, I was with the Baltimore Ravens. We drafted two players that were multi-sport athletes. Ray Lewis was a two-time national high school state champion wrestler in Florida. And Jonathan Ogden was both an All-American in football, won the Outland Trophy at UCLA, but was also a national champion shot putter. I believe being a multi-sport athlete does have value.
Those wrestlers and that offensive line and defensive line, it always comes to fruition. I just signed my son up for lacrosse in hopes that the two-sport
Scott,
just make sure you're still scouting somewhere, consulting, and doing those things to get him in. But Scott, I want to look ahead to the NFL draft. Now, you worked with LSU as a consultant again this season. Is there a player there at LSU that you're keeping your eye on come this late April for the NFL draft?
Well, Jason, of course, they're going to have three guys, in my opinion, that are going to get drafted in the first round. Of course, Jaden Daniels, but Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas are probably going to get drafted also. So they are loaded. When I look at Jaden Daniels, though, this is a special football player. I had to get down there. Remember, I was working on Eastern time, so I would get into the office a little bit early, and I would get there. And Jaden Daniels was there every single morning. And he would get in about 5:15, 5:30, and start working on virtual reality and film watching. And I remember one time I was asking, you know, not as a scout, but I was like, Jaden, tell me about this virtual reality stuff. What are you getting at? Is it all just for show? And his eyes lit up. And when he started talking about the detail of his preparation, he told me this story how he had never played at Mississippi State. But when he put the goggles on, he, the week before the Mississippi State game, knew exactly what the entire stadium looked like. He knew where the play clocks were in both end zones. He knew every single detail about the stadium that he needed to know in terms of preparation for the game. Again, we can all, everyone sees how good of a player he is, how talented he is, how accurate he is, what an athlete he is. But what you don't see is the preparation. And this guy truly loves the game, loves the competition, and he is just a special kind of leader. So to me, Jaden Daniels is a guy that I've certainly got my eye on.
You know what Kyle would call that? The intangibles, Scott.
Love him.
Kyle's big on the intangibles.
Intangible season.
Don't see. And by the way, don't let Jason fool you. His kid's in like 17 different sports, so he's going to be drafted next week probably.
Hey, if I ever get Thanks, back Scott. In it, I would absolutely take a McCourty.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyers, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the Dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyers, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyers.com today.